I'd like to acknowledge my co-presenters in their absence, Claudia Graham and Heidi Churchill, and the Collaborative Healthy Weight, the Childhood Healthy Weight Collaborative, which includes our funder, the Health and Wellness Trust Fund and Commission, and East Carolina University School of Medicine. I will briefly describe the North Carolina Childhood Obesity or Fit Together initiative, then provide four examples of the initiative's strategies for sustainability. And then I'll end by identifying some of our replicable processes and programs or activities. But first, a look at the problem of overweight in North Carolina. Childhood overweight and obesity in North Carolina has increased over time, particularly among the younger ages. The 2004 state data from the North Carolina Nutrition and Physical Activity Surveillance System revealed that childhood obesity for children ages 12 to 18 years is approximately 25%. For 6 to 11 years, it's approximately 24%, and for children 2 to 5 years of age, 15%. And these statistics are higher than the national levels reported from the 2003-2004 National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which reveals that for children 12 to 19 years of age, the prevalence of obesity is 17%, and 6 to 11 years, it's 19%. To help address this issue in North Carolina, the Childhood Obesity Initiative was established. This was a three-year, $15 million statewide initiative, and it started in January of 2004 and will end in December of 2007. The fourth year, 2007 is the fourth year, came about as a performance period extension where grantees that had funding that would roll over, and those were all of them except for one, could have it rolled over based on their performance, and all of them had performed well enough for the trust to allow them to continue using their funds through the fourth year. There were 21 youth obesity prevention grants across the state, as you can see highlighted here. UNC-TV, University of North Carolina Television, the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians, and the North Carolina Division of Public Health are not shown in this map since they covered multiple counties. The goals of this initiative are to reduce barriers to healthy eating and physical activity in children's homes and communities, and to significantly increase the number of school and childcare settings promoting healthy eating and physical activity, neighborhoods designed to support safe play and healthy eating, and to increase healthcare settings that participate in the prevention and treatment of obesity and childhood overweight. So a multidimensional project team has been necessary to make this statewide initiative successful. And to meet the initiative's goals, our grantees are diverse: school systems, community nonprofits, health departments, statewide agencies, hospitals, and universities. The Health and Wellness Trust Fund Commission, the technical assistance team at Duke, and the evaluation team at ECU have worked together as a support team with the grantees to help them plan, implement, monitor, report, and evaluate their programs. Regarding the technical assistance team, which is what I represent, part of our role is to assist the grantees to sustain their programs for long-term success, particularly since it may take an extended period of time for program efforts to show an impact on weight. So what is sustainability? It is the continuation over time of community benefits. Those community benefits are defined based on the programs implemented, in this case, to combat and prevent childhood obesity. Strategies employed by the TA team included grantee sustainability training, which was conducted by the Center for Creative Partnerships in California. They came out and they trained the grantees within the first year of the project. Monthly tracking. The grantees were tracked monthly and they would have to provide us with reports. Those reports then went to ECU, who was the evaluation team, that then kept record of what they were doing. Then we also had monthly reports, Duke did, with the Health and Wellness Trust Fund Commission to resolve any issues that may have come up with individual grantees. We had conference calls, we had site visits, we had annual meetings for grantees to showcase and share with each other, and grantee semi-annual and annual reports that went to the evaluation team at ECU. So accountability occurred at multiple levels. The Center for Creative Partnerships lists 10 sustainability strategies, and tonight I'll just cover two of those and give examples. One of those is network building. Cumberland County Public Schools did a project called Project Move, which involved 12 selected schools that provided in-school activities for children and incorporated these activities into their curriculum after-school activity classes to students, family members, and parents. They used a train-the-trainer model, and teachers trained other teachers to develop lesson plans and incorporate physical activity into the regular class curriculum. And one example of that is first graders in learning a lesson on solids, liquids, and gases were asked to stand up and demonstrate what they thought a liquid would do. So then they would get up and have physical activity involved there. And teachers were trained, the other teachers, to use the lesson plans, not just develop them, but how to use them. They created a network to sustain the program by partnering with law enforcement, local radio and television, a state university, and the Cape Valley Medical Center for information and educational resources. The North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians at the statewide level developed a referral system and a resource kit for physicians to enable them to make initial health assessments for obesity, provide them materials that they can distribute to their patients, and assist in patient referral to a local resource for counseling and support. This was across 60 counties, and the network of partners for sustaining the program included the North Carolina Department of Public Health, the Eat Smart Move More Collaborative, which is funded by the Centers for Disease Control, and the North Carolina Cooperative Extension. Another strategy is implementing sustainability steps. The Durham Public Schools conducted a health assessment of each school in Durham involving parents and school staff. They implemented a physical activity program chosen by each school and expanded a nutrition program. After-school programs were required to provide daily physical activity and healthy snacks, and they encouraged physicians to refer their patients to the programs. What's unique about the Durham Public Schools is that they were the only ones who implemented the 10 steps of the sustainability plan, and as a result, they were one of the first grantees to create and authorize a position for a wellness coordinator for all of the Durham Public Schools. The Southeastern Regional Medical Center conducted a project called Project Health, Healthy Eating and Active Lifestyles for Tomorrow's Health. And this was an in-school intervention, again incorporating physical activity and nutrition into the curriculum, and nutrition and cooking education for the community. And to maintain physical activity, one high school developed a sustainability plan through its youth, who took an old gym and refurbished the gym, brought in equipment that was donated to them, and this involved students from the Health Occupation and Safety Association, the ROTC, and art class. And because of this effort, this program went after more funding and received $400,000 to replicate this program. For replicability, to help grantees prepare replicable projects and to report to the Health and Wellness Trust Fund Commission on what projects may be more suitable for being replicable across the state, we tried to come up with tools in order to be able to identify those that were replicable. So we assigned levels of program flexibility for programs and decided they were either high, medium, or low in flexibility. And we looked at the different settings. So if a program was in one setting, we tried to see if they could be in another setting for project reach. And that included schools, after school, home, faith-based environments, work site environments, and community. So if it was in community, we tried to see if it could be replicated in another environment. We looked to see whether it can be adopted in different age groups, pre-kindergarten or daycares, elementary, middle, high school, and adults. And projected participant appeal and ease of implementation was decided based on feedback and discussion with the grantees. We selected a total of 24 programs out of about 70 to 90 programs, give or take, because they either had 2 to 4 on average programs or activities per grantee. Two examples I will give are the Lunch and Learn and Be Active Challenge. The Lunch and Learn was a business-supported program that encouraged policy and environmental changes through employee input, such as walking trails, allowing employees to take time for exercise, or having physical activity equipment on site or healthy snacks available for them while they were at work. The participation in Silas is approximately 12 people, and they had these per lunch and learn discussion. The program we felt was flexible enough to be implemented in school and after school and faith-based settings as well, and could also be implemented among high school students, not just adults. The Be Active Challenge involved a participation size of the classroom of approximately 21 children. And the program involved students choosing an activity that they wanted to do and getting their parents' signature for doing it, so almost like a contract. And then they would be rewarded an incentive. In this case, it was a wristband because these were small children. And they would incorporate this into the existing curricula, just like one of the other programs implemented in school and community settings. And we think that this is also flexible enough to be designed for middle and high school students and adults with different incentives. So the reach was extremely broad for this particular program. So in summary, we believe that the collaborative partnerships were important for establishing sustainability plans and identifying replicable programs. We will hear more about the success of implementing these plans in our November 15th meeting that we're going to have with our grantees, where they're going to share more detail about their lessons learned and about replicable strategies. Through the new partnership, securing of funding and changes to how programs are fundamentally operated, we believe that many of these programs were clearly successful in development and should be able to be sustained at some basic level. And we all are doing this for our community partners. That's who is the real VIP here. So thank you.